thank you, Sister Clark. Boy, won't that be the day.
Wow.
When old Satan gets his desserts, amen. Thank you so much for that message and song. That just kind of sets you right up there in the future to see it, don't it? Well, I'm privileged today and very thankful that we have Brother Justin Cooper with us. Brother Cooper is our evangelist for the week out at camp. We've known him for a number of years. God has had his hand on this young man, really using him in a mighty way. And we were looking forward to the time that we could get him to come. He's going to be preaching for us today and, of course, at the youth camp. And he drove in long ways, 12 hours, I think, to get here. I don't know what time he got in last night, but we're looking forward to having him this week. You pray for the whole week today and all week long now as we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and pray that he'll have a great victory in our midst and a lot of souls will be saved. Brother Justin, you come on. God bless you. So glad to have you.
All right, take your Bible, please. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 10 this morning. Book of Romans chapter number 10. It is my honor to be with you today and then throughout the week this week. I've been excited about it, looking forward to it. And, of course, appreciate your pastor and Brother Parsons and other folks around here that I know. And I'm just looking forward to a good week. I drove in from Lexington, Kentucky yesterday. That's where we live. I grew up in West Virginia, moved to Kentucky. And I found out the hillbilly jokes just travel with you. You know, you don't have to get new jokes. They just work either place. Now, I can say them. You can't. I'm an Appalachian American, and if you say them, I'll be offended. But anyway, I say, you know, where we grew up, you go to the zoo, they don't just tell you what's in the cage. We'll tell you how to fry it, too. You know what I mean? But anyway, my wife is not with me today. My wife's name is Desiree, and we have a little boy, 16 months old, named Lincoln. And they're at home this week. Her sister's getting married, and we believe in miracles. We thought it never happened. But anyway, her sister's getting married this week. And so they're staying home for that. And I thought, what a good excuse to miss. I'm preaching down here. So anyway, I'm excited to be with you for a couple reasons. Romans chapter number 10, looking forward to the day today. And I'm praying God will speak to our heart this morning. And the message I'm going to preach this morning is so simple and so basic that almost as a preacher, you fear to preach it because you think everybody already knows that. Everybody's already heard that. And then I think about the old hymn that said, I love to tell the story to those who know it best. Because it said they seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. So I'm praying God will speak to our heart. And there might just be one person specifically that needs the message. But if there's one, that's all that matters. That's enough. Romans chapter number 10, we'll read verse 9 down through verse number 13. And let's stand together as we read the Word of God, if you will. I don't know what you normally do here, but we'll stand to read verse number 9 through verse number 13. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I like those thou shalt statements. No doubt, definite. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 13 is the text for the message. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, it does not say that everybody is saved, but it does tell us everybody can be saved. For a little while this morning, I want to preach to you or confront you even with the most important thing that anybody could ever present to you. And I know many folks in this room would say, well, I am. I already know that. But there might be one or two that don't. For a little while this morning, I want to preach just simply on this thought. Are you saved? And I'm not asking, are you religious? Or even, are you Baptist? But I mean this, are you born again? Amen. Are you saved? Are you ready to meet God? Now, I'm praying this morning God will move. And if you are saved, you might know someone who's not. I'm praying God will give us a renewed burden for lost people. But just for a while, let's tune into heaven and let God have his way. And let's ask God to meet the need of the hour. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for power, please. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts today. I pray, God, that you'd help us just to see where we stand with you. Thank you for the day you saved me. And God, many of us in here today could take people back to the place, the time where we were born again. But there might be someone here today who's never been saved. I pray the Holy Spirit of God will convict them of their sin. And I pray they'd see their need of salvation and be saved today. I pray that you bless our week together in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. On April 14th, 1912, the Titanic struck an iceberg. At that time, the boat was the largest ship floating. In fact, they said it was an unsinkable vessel. The captain of the boat actually made the statement, not even God can sink this ship. Now we know what happened. On April 15th, the boat did sink. A man stood in the pulpit several months after the sinking of the Titanic and gave a testimony. He was on board the ship with a preacher by the name of John Harper. Maybe you've heard this story. He said on the night of April 14th, they were plunged into the water, and he said he could hear as women screamed and babies cried, and he was floating on a piece of wreckage, and he said that with all that commotion going on, just a horrible scene, he said a man was floating off in the distance, and the waves would bring that individual, John Harper's who it was, closer to him, and as the man got close to him, the preacher cried out, "Are you saved?" Over all the screaming, over all the wreckage and carnage of that scene, the preacher cried, "Are you saved?" That man said, "I answered back at first," and said, "No." He said, the preacher said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." He said, the waves took him away and then brought him back together a few moments later. And he said, "Are you saved now?" And he said, "I said, no." He said, "Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." He said, time and time again, the waves would bring us together and then draw us apart. And the preacher kept asking, "Are you saved?" Until finally I heard his voice no more. That man stood in that pulpit several months later and said, "But I'm glad to tell you today that I am John Harper's last convert. That night I called upon the Lord and I was saved." Can I say the most important thing that pertains to every person in this place today is the salvation of your soul. You'll never be presented with something more important than what I'm going to confront you with today. It's more important than the spouse you choose to marry. It's more important than the car you choose to drive. It's more important than the career path you go down in life. The matter of your own salvation. The Bible said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So here's what I want to ask you today. Are you saved? Not an "I think so." Not an "I hope so." Not a "maybe so." But I mean an assurance in your soul that if you were to close your eyes in death today, that heaven is waiting for you. You and I might not be floating on a piece of wreckage from a sinking ship, but all of us are living on borrowed time today. And every time that second hand makes its lap around the face of the clock, we're that much closer to our own personal meeting with God. One day every atheist will stand before God. One day every Bible denier will stand before God. One day every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room today will have a personal meeting with the God of eternity. Can I say that's something more towering than the tallest mountain in the world, the subject of your own salvation? Because this is not a decision that only has ramifications that will last for time, but this decision has ramifications that will last throughout eternity. Long after the clock quits turning, you'll live with the decision you make as to salvation. Education might make you smarter, but it can't save your soul. Good deeds might give you a good name in town, but they cannot save your soul. Money might add good things to your life, but listen, money cannot save your soul. The Ten Commandments might help you to live a moral life, but the Ten Commandments cannot save your soul. And every person in this place today has an eternal, never-dying soul. And long after your body is lying in the dirt and a stone marks the place where your body lays, your soul will live somewhere for eternity. Can I say this morning, your choice is really just a choice between two eternities. That's all it comes down to. But these are two eternities as different as night and day, as different as light and darkness, as different as death and life. And a million years from now, I promise you won't worry about the clothes you're wearing, and you won't worry about the car that you own, and you won't care about your bank account, but it will matter. Are you saved? A mother was dying, and as she laid on her deathbed, her children passed by, and she'd pray with each child. She'd pray with a daughter, and then after the prayer, she'd look at her daughter and say, "I'll see you soon." The next daughter passed by, she prayed with her and said, "I'll see you soon." Her boy passed by, and she prayed with her son and said, "I'll see you soon." Her next son passed by, and he lived a rebellious life. He wasn't a Christian. And she prayed with him, and as she finished her prayer, she looked at her son and said, "Son, goodbye." And he said, "Mama, how come you told me goodbye? Everybody else, she said, see you soon." And she said, "Son, because you're not a Christian. And if you do not get saved and you die lost, I'll not see you again. So, son, for you, it's not see you soon. For son, for you, it's goodbye." The Bible's clear. Not all people go to heaven. We sing the song, and I like the song when we all get to heaven, but I'm sorry, that's just not the case. Not everybody's going to go. Not everybody in this room, no doubt. Not everybody in the world is going to go to heaven. You see, the same God that extends grace and mercy to every individual also promises us just retribution for sin. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, for not one that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, no doubt some may ask, well, that's not fair. What about those in foreign lands that have never heard the gospel? They make up this hypothetical situation. I'd answer it in two ways. Number one, the Bible says in Romans 1, the creation itself bears witness of their soul. There's a God in heaven, so they're without excuse. And the second thing I would say is this. I wouldn't worry about some hypothetical person that may or may not have heard the gospel. I'd be more worried with your own soul today, because you and I have heard the gospel. The old poem said, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be, for one day you'll be asking, what will he do with me? If we can see through the eyes of God this morning, we see just how close some of us are to eternity right now. Nobody plans to die, but the Bible says we all have our appointment with death. And every time the second hand ticks, it brings us that much closer to our own personal appointment. I was preaching in Georgia the first of this year, and on Saturday night, a man left his house, just a good man. He left his house to go to the grocery store in the evening, and he had a wife and children at home. He was in his car going down the highway, and I think he dropped his cell phone into the floorboard of his car. And he reached down to get his cell phone and took his eyes off the road, and his car veered off the road. His tire hit the culvert in the front of the churchyard, and his car ramped over the church driveway, turned upside down, and he died right in the front yard of the church house. Can I tell you, that man didn't plan to meet God that night. He didn't plan on that being his last day on earth, but the Bible's right. Everyone has an appointment with death, and we don't know when that appointment is coming. If we could see through the eyes of God this morning, we'd see past false profession. I heard Lester Roloff say on CD, not in person, but on CD, that he believed maybe 75% of the folk he preached to were not truly saved. It's amazing to me today, you go out soul winning and everybody's born again. You ever notice that? I mean, the guy who runs the bar, the porn shop owner, everybody's born again today. And you ask people, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready for heaven? And they'll say, well, I'm all right. And at the same time they say that, their own mind, heart, and conscience bears witness against them. They're not ready for eternity. Can I say, it's one thing to profess it, another thing to possess it. And you can fool a preacher and trick a parent and lie to a spouse, but God knows our heart. If we could see through the eyes of God and see just how bad hell is, can I tell you, we wouldn't wait for an invitation. We'd race to an old-fashioned altar this very moment and cry out to God to save our soul. While you and I are sitting in an air-conditioned auditorium, folks are burning in agonizing torment in hell at this very moment. Can I say, it'd be a horrible thing to be a knowledgeable person and not know you're saved. It'd be a horrible thing to be a good person morally and yet die in unrighteousness. What a horrible thing to sit under the gospel and yet never claim the gospel for yourself. Plenty of good men will be in hell. Plenty of good ladies will be in hell. Plenty of good teenagers will be in hell. And let me say on the flip side, plenty of bad men will be in hell. Plenty of bad ladies and teenagers will be in hell. What we're talking about this morning is not good or bad. Good or bad is not what distinguishes between saved and lost. You say, well, who goes to heaven and who goes to hell? Here it is. Saved people go to heaven and lost people go to hell. There'll be plenty of bad people in heaven. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They say one reason so many people died as the Titanic sank is the captain refused to believe the ship was sinking. They said he wouldn't allow the lifeboats to be dropped until the water was up to his ankles in his own office. Can I say too many people treat God in the same fashion? They say, well, not today, maybe tomorrow, but can I say the water is rising in our life. And today, the Bible said, is the day of salvation. If I could twist your arm and drag you to an altar to get saved, I'd do it. If I could pay you enough money to get you saved, I would do it. If I could pray you into heaven on my own, then I would do that. But can I say it's a personal decision between you and Almighty God. And here's what I want to ask you today. Are you saved? I don't want you to gamble with it. Don't just put on some religious veneer. Don't just go through the motions and say, well, maybe so, or I think so, or I'm hoping so, or I'm hanging on or holding out. I mean, do you know that you're saved today? I'm not asking, are you Baptist? I'm asking, are you saved? I'm not asking even, do you own a Bible? I'm asking, are you saved? I'm not asking, can you sing Amazing Grace? I'm asking, are you saved? I'm not asking, can you quote John 3:16? I'm asking, are you saved? Are you ready to meet God? The God who knows you better than you know yourself. The God who meets out the heavens with the span of his hand. The God who created everything out of nothing. A just, holy, righteous God. Are you saved? I see it in my mind. That giant ship as it sinks in the sea. I can hear the ladies screaming and the babies crying out. I see as the men plunge themselves into the deep. I see all the commotion, hear the metal bending and the wood breaking. And over all of that comes the cry of the preacher, are you saved? Yes. Let me make a couple statements. We'll be through. Number one, there's a need for salvation, and it's universal. Look at the Bible. It said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The whosoever of salvation is necessary because of the universality of sin. The reason that anybody can be saved is because everybody needs to be saved. The Bible has already condemned us all unclean, and because of that, unfit for heaven. A righteous God cannot dwell with sin. The Bible says that our iniquities have separated us from God. One sin is enough to keep you from the presence of God for all eternity. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. You see, but my sin is not that bad. Can I say just a slight sin, just a small sin in our eyes is enough to make God turn his face away from us? We might not all have money, but we are all sinners. Hello. We might not all have the same IQ level, but we are all sinners. We might not all have the same hair color, and some of you men don't have hair at all, but we might not all have the same hair color, but we are all sinners. We all have that in common. The man or woman who refuses to admit that they're a sinner reminds me of a fella in an orange jumpsuit sitting behind a bunch of iron bars telling you, well, I didn't do anything wrong, after the judge has already condemned him guilty. I'm not asking you to tell on yourself. God's already condemned us and sentenced us and said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have a little boy, 16 months old. We have to teach him a lot of things. Didn't have to teach him how to sin.
Right.
We're trying to teach him how to eat. That's the messiest thing. Teach him how to put on his little shoes with the Velcro, you know, trying to teach him how to do that. We've taught him how to give the dog a treat and not to eat the treat before he gives it to the dog. We're teaching him that. Pray for us. He's struggling with that one. We've had to teach him a lot of things. But we didn't have to teach him how to sin. He got that honest. And can I tell you something? You might just call it a short temper, but listen to me. God calls it sin. You say, but it was just a little gossip, but God calls it sin. You say, but it was just a mistake I made, but God calls it sin. You say, but it was just a bad thought, yeah, but God calls it sin. You say, but it was just a curse word, yeah, but God calls it sin. You say, but it was just a fling or an affair, but God calls it sin. You say, but I'm just lazy, that's all, yeah, but God calls it sin. And can I say that just one sin is enough to condemn us to a devil's hell? We can change the terminology, but it doesn't change the fact. You see, you can slap a Coca-Cola label on a bottle of poison. It's still going to kill you if you drink it. And you might call it something more flowery than what it is, but God still calls it sin. And I'll tell you this, you can't take care of it on your own, and I can't take care of it on my own. I can't get baptized to take care of it. I can't do good deeds to take care of it. I can't buy enough boxes of Girl Scout cookies to take care of it. The Bible's already said I'm a sinner in everything that I do. It's like a boy who picks a flower and gets mud on his hand. And his mama says, what'd you do? She said, I picked a flower. She said, yeah, but you got mud all over your hand. He said, that's no problem. I'll clean it off. And he takes his clean hand and wipes off his dirty hand. All he did was transfer the mud. Can I say, that's the best you and I can do when it comes to our sin. You can't get rid of it. You can't cover it. You can't do away with it. It's there, and you can't do anything about it. You'll find water on the sun before you'll find an unsaved person in heaven.
Right.
So number one, there's a need for salvation that's universal. Number two, there's a, thank God for this, a way of salvation that is also universal. Look at the Bible. It said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Someone might be sincere, and talk to you and say, you take any road you want to, and it'll get you to Haines City, Florida. And they might really mean it. They might say, but my mama believed that. My daddy believed that. My grandpa believed it that way, and I believe it too. Any road you want to take, you take it. It'll get you to Landmark Baptist Church. And they might really mean it in their heart, but they're still wrong. They might be sincere, but they're sincerely mistaken. And can I say this attitude today where folks say, well, if you just believe what you, this Mars Hill mentality, you believe what you want to believe, I believe what I want to believe, and any path that's a good path is the right path for you. Can I say that's not Bible? Here's what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No rich man, no poor man, no old man, no young man, no smart man, no man cometh unto the Father but by the Lord Jesus Christ. A man was dying, and as he lay on his deathbed, he had a Bible frantically going through it. And a friend saw him and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm searching this Bible. He said, why? You never read the Bible before. You don't even believe that book. He said, I'm looking for a loophole in this thing. Can I tell you, there are no loopholes in that thing. There's only a door, and there's only one door, and it's not Buddha, amen. It's not Muhammad. It's not baptism. It's not good works. It's not even church membership. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the hope. He's the answer. Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, lived this sinless life, died on the cross in my place and yours. But the Bible said without the shedding of blood is no remission. A temporal sacrifice yields a temporal atonement. But thank God an eternal sacrifice can yield an eternal atonement. And Jesus shed eternal blood for us on the cross of Calvary. The Bible said this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Here's what I'm saying. There is no Catholic way to heaven. Hello? There's no Methodist way to heaven. There's no Presbyterian way to heaven. And don't get me wrong, but there's no Baptist way to heaven. There's just a Bible way to heaven. And it doesn't matter if you're in Africa or Afghanistan or Antarctica or Alaska or Australia or anywhere else in the world. The way is always the same. The way is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Tom Brady can't pass his way into heaven. And President Trump can't write legislation and sign his way into heaven. And he's already dead, but Frank Sinatra couldn't have sung his way into heaven. Warren Buffett can't buy his way into heaven. The only way anybody gets to heaven is through Jesus Christ and the blood he shed on the cross of Calvary. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, or where you're from. We're all going to go in the same way. If you had to have education, God would have sent you a teacher. If you needed technology, God would have sent you an inventor. But what you needed was a Savior, so thank God He sent us Jesus. Amen. I think about D.L. Moody used to use the illustration of the thief on the cross. He was preaching about salvation just by grace through faith. And he said that thief on the cross couldn't have worked. His hands were nailed. He couldn't even walk for the Lord. His feet were fastened. He said he couldn't even live for the Lord. He's about to die. All he could do is take his faith and put it on the one in the middle. And can I say, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Let me ask you this. Curtis Hudson used to make the statement. He said, what makes a man a millionaire? $1 million. What makes a man a lawyer? A law degree. So what makes a man a Christian? It's Christ. Amen. Number one, there's a need that's universal. Number two, there's a way that's universal. Number three, thank God for this, there's an invitation that is universal. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if you're here this morning and you're a little Calvinistic, you might want to tune out just for a minute. But anyway, there's an invitation that is universal. Salvation is not biased. Hello? Salvation is not prejudiced. Salvation is colorblind and doesn't care about nationality. The Great Commission is 7 continents wide. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me. So thank God. I like it. It says red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the. He loves everybody in the world. And here's what the Bible said. For whosoever. Now I'm a Greek scholar, so let me teach you some Greek. You know what whosoever means? Y'all. I think that's right. I have to ask the priest. Actually, let me get, it's a plural word. So here's what it means. All y'all. Amen. All y'all can be saved. Amen. I was preaching up north. I was in Michigan, and I said, they thought that was Greek, all y'all. But anyway, I mean, all y'all, every single individual. That means bad people can get saved, good people can get saved, tall people can get saved, short people can get saved, rich people, poor people, young people, old people, skinny people. That means everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter your rap sheets, your record. Doesn't matter your bank account. Doesn't matter what side of the tracks you've lived on. You can get saved. That means every young man on that front row right there, if you wanted to, you could get saved. Amen. That means every young lady right there, you could get saved if you wanted to. That means every adult in this building, if you're not saved, you could be saved if you wanted to. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That person's way too bad. No, that person's a good candidate for salvation. In fact, you bring them to me, and I'll look them up and down and say, well, they're whosoever. Yes. Whosoevers are everywhere. They're at Walmart. Amen. There's a lot of whosoevers at Walmart. Whosoevers are at work. Whosoevers are at the gas station. Whosoevers are in church, it doesn't matter who they are, they can be born again. Jesus is an equal opportunity Savior. Amen. And I preached all that to get to this, and this is where we'll focus and be done in just a moment. There's a way of salvation that's universal. There's a need for salvation that's universal. There's an invitation for salvation that's universal. But the decision to be saved is totally personal. Right. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. People who've heard the gospel are not going to go to hell simply because they're sinners. They're going to go to hell because they rejected the gospel. If you die and go to hell today, it won't necessarily be because you were a drinker or a smoker or an adulterer. It'll be because you said no to the gospel. Because here's what the Bible said, for whosoever, that's anybody, but it's also just you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be. Nobody here is saved by proxy. You know what that means? You're not saved by atmosphere. Just because you're sitting in church listening to this this preacher preach, come on now. Just because you're in church, just because you're wearing a suit and tie or a nice Sunday dress or rode on a bus or sat in Sunday school doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Hello? There has to be a time in your life where you personally understand that you're a sinner. And because of your sin, you deserve hell, and you're going there. But thank God Jesus died so that you don't have to. And you, by faith, trust Jesus for salvation. It's a personal decision. Everybody can go to heaven, I said, but not everybody will. And the only reason somebody won't is because they refuse to accept the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The world, that's everybody. But here's personal, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I read the illustration about an Indian fellow. He got saved. He was trying to tell the rest of the men in his tribe how he got saved, and he couldn't get it across, so he decided to use an illustration. And he took a couple of worms and dropped them on the ground and took a bunch of leaves and made a circle around those worms. He then set those leaves on fire, and those worms were in the midst of this burning fire. He took his hand and stuck it down inside of that circle of fire, and one of the worms crawled in his hand, and he pulled it out, and the other worm was consumed in the fire. Both of them had opportunity to get in his hand, but one chose to get in, and the other chose to die in the flames. And can I tell you, that's exactly how it works with us. The thing, his hand is extended to every individual here today. Amen. Nobody who came in this building today has to leave lost if you're not saved right now. The only reason anybody ever goes to hell is because they vote to. Hello? You choose to. Yes. Maybe you've heard the illustration. John Marshall was the Chief Justice. Andrew Jackson was the President. A man named George Wilson robbed a mail car. That was a capital offense. He was to be hung by the neck, killed. Andrew Jackson wrote a pardon to where George Marshall would not have to be killed, executed. They took the pardon to George Wilson. And said, you've been pardoned. Andrew Jackson has pardoned you. You don't have to die. You can go free. And he refused his pardon. He didn't want it. And they said, you don't understand. If you don't take this pardon, you will die. He said, I don't want the pardon. They rushed it from there to the Chief Justice, John Marshall, and said, the President has pardoned George Wilson. He said, doesn't have to die. And the Chief Justice said, did he accept the pardon? Did Mr. Wilson accept? He said, no, he didn't accept it. And said, then he must die. He said, the power is not in the piece of paper. The power's in the acceptance of the pardon. And can I tell you, the gospel for you will be nothing more than just a worthless invitation if you don't accept it. The power's in your acceptance of it. Here's all I'm asking you to do today if you're not saved. Listen to me. I'm asking you to just put your faith in Christ. Now, don't be a hypocrite. You've already put faith in stuff today. When you got up this morning, your alarm clock went off. You did not double check it to make sure the time was right. You put faith in your alarm clock. When you went and ate breakfast, you didn't have a food tester to make sure it wasn't poisoned. Hello? You put faith in General Mills or whoever it was. When you got in your car, you didn't check your brake lines. You got in and came down the road, didn't you? You put faith in brake lines. I watched some of y'all when you came to church. You didn't check your pew. You plopped. You didn't look at the upholstery, the screws, nothing. You put faith that thing would hold you. Now, some of us probably should have checked it. But we put faith in our pew. So here's what I'm asking. When you get a paycheck, you have faith in the bank, don't you? So here's all I'm asking you. Could you not have as much faith in Jesus as you do in an alarm clock? I mean, could you not put as much faith in Jesus as you do a brake line? Couldn't you put as much faith in Jesus as you do a church pew or your person who cooked your breakfast or the bank down the street? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Boy, the greatest gift you ever give your family is to let them know you're born again. I preached my grandmother's funeral. It was the first funeral I ever preached. And I was preaching a meeting out of state and had to come back. And my mom called me and said, Mamma's about to pass away. And so I wanted to be there for everything. And she died of cancer. She was a pastor's wife and had a brain tumor and things and had gone blind because of the tumor. And my grandpa had gotten dementia and had to retire from the ministry. And he always called me preacher, never called me by my name after I started to preach. Everywhere we went, he'd tell people, he said, he's a world-famous evangelist. He didn't know any better, and I wasn't going to correct him. You know what I mean? So I said, but I remember I walked up to their house, and he was watching, I think it was like Gunsmoke or something. When he got the minute, he just wanted to watch Gunsmoke all day long. And it was like people were getting shot in the house. He couldn't hear anything. It was so loud. I mean, just, but anyway, I remember we walked in there, and he was in his recliner, and I said, Papa, what you doing? He said, I'm waiting on your grandma to come out. He didn't even know what was happening. She was dying back in the back rooms in a hospice bed. And I said, I'll go check on her. And I walked back there, and my grandma was there in that hospice bed, and they'd taken her off the ventilator. She's breathing her final breaths, you know, just skin and bones. My mom and her sister and brothers were in there just sort of waiting, you know, just praying. And we stood there for a minute, and I remember hearing feet shuffling down the hallway, and it was Papaw. And I never seen this before, but I heard people talk about it, but this happened. When he came in the room, it was like God gave him his mind back, just for a minute. And he was like a preacher again. I remember he walked in that room and he looked down at Mamma and he took his hand and his hand was black on the back from bruising and things and shook. And he pushed the hair, her hair was white as my shirt, pushed her hair back on her forehead and bent over and kissed her on the forehead. If she'd have lived one more week, they would have been married 60 years. And he said, I know you don't feel good, honey, do you? Of course, she's unresponsive and tears were running down his face. And he said this next statement, he said, if you want to go home without me, you can. He said, because I know if I don't see you in the morning, I'll see you on the shores of glory. We stood there for a minute. He said, preacher, would you say something? And I said, Papa, I don't know what to say. And my uncle started singing, there'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain. We got to the chorus, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And can I tell you something? Christians die well. And if you're today and you don't know heaven's your home, I want to beg you, why don't you get that thing settled today? For whosoever, doesn't matter who you are, you could be saved, and one day we can meet on the shores of glory. Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Please be real still this morning. I want to ask the most important question I could ever ask a person is this: are you saved? Would you young people just listen? Just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed. Don't look around at your friends. Don't worry about anybody else. Just focus. Let God speak to your heart. I was 21 years old before I got saved. I might tell you my testimony some this week. I went through the motions a long time. Maybe here today and say, preacher, if I'm going to be honest with you, I know God knows my heart, but if I were going to be honest with you, I want you to pray for me this morning and say, I'm a little bit concerned about my soul. I'm not sure I'm saved. And you'd raise your hand to let me pray for you, please. Nobody's looking around, but I do want to pray for you. Right now, would you lift it up? What about it? Just lift it up and say, pray for me. pray for me. Concerned about that. All right, see that hand, Biz? You can raise it up. Anybody else? All right, see that hand. Anybody else say, pray for me? You can put it back down. Say, pray for me. You're not the only ones. Anybody else say, pray for me? I'm concerned about my soul. All right, see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else say, that's me, Brother Cooper. I'm not positive. I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. Please pray for me. Anybody else, let me pray for you, please. Lift it up, even in the balcony. I don't see anybody, but anybody else? Maybe you're here today and say, Brother Cooper, I know someone who's not saved, a friend, a brother, sister, husband, wife, a neighbor, somebody I love. Say, pray for me. I've got a burden for someone today who's not saved. Say, pray for me. I've got something on my heart. Boy, I see those hands, many of you all over the building. Let's pray that God would use us to be a soul winner, also that God would soften their heart. I'm going to pray the altar be open. Listen, if you raise your hand a minute ago and aren't sure about eternity, when the invitation starts, you come to this altar and let somebody help you, show you from the Bible how to be saved. Please don't leave this place lost. You just come. Talk to the Lord. Let somebody help you. Christians, you come pray for that lost person on your heart. Would you do that? Let's pray for revival this week. Pray for camp. Whatever the need is, God can meet it. Lord, I pray you bless the invitation now, please. I pray you'd help us to respond and be obedient to how you've spoken to us. I pray for these several that have raised their hand about salvation. God, that they'd have the courage to step up and come forward. Let somebody show them from the Bible how to be saved. I ask you just to meet with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and play whenever you're ready. Let's stand on our feet if you would.